Tonight is Wednesday night, February 27th. This is the women's Gemara share. We're doing topics in Masechah Sukkah, continuing with the topic of Mitzta'er Potam in Asukkah. Okay, Rabotai. We've been focusing the last couple of weeks on the topic Mitzta'er Patur Min HaSukkah, and I'd like to try to wrap up tonight the guidelines of this particular exemption, and then, if I have time tonight, if not the next week, discuss its carryover or lack thereof to other mitzvot, which would like to use the same principle, despite the fact that it is quoted in the Gemara only in relationship to the mitzvah of Sukkah. So we had mentioned last week a case which we're going to elaborate on tonight because it illustrates a real extension of the principle of Mitzta'er Patur Min HaSukkah. Up until now, every single illustration that we gave, the tsa'ar is as a result of sitting in the sukkah. You are ill and you can't sit in the sukkah. It's very cold and you can't sit in the sukkah. It's raining and you can't sit in the sukkah. There are bees and you can't sit in the sukkah. The question which we're going to examine tonight is, does the concept of mitzta'er have a corollary called tircha? It's just too much of a pain in the neck to go ahead and go into the sukkah. A pain in the neck, which has nothing to do with the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah, per se. The pain in the neck is getting to the sukkah. Certain efforts that have to be generated to enable me to go into the sukkah. Is that a legitimate application of mitzta'er or not? That's the topic for tonight. And the spokesperson is an Ashkenazic Rishon. His name is his book is known as the Trumat HaDeshen. He was asked the following question, which we mentioned last week. She'ela. Beleil Shabbat b'chag Sukkot kavu lo haneirot. It was Friday night. This is the only time that this question can apply, because if it's Yontav is a Tuesday night, the lights go out, just light them again. Hadlaka havara on Yontav is mutter, but on Shabbos you don't have that opportunity. And the assumption is, in the Trumas HaDeshen's time, it's not electric lights. You lit candles in the sukkah, as many require, that you light candles in the sukkah. Not everybody does, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to. And v'yeshlo ner bebeito, and he has a light in his house. Shari lotzeit min ha'sukkah le'echol bebeito b'makom haner. Oh no. Can he go out of the sukkah to eat in his house if there is a candle in his house? So what would you say, based on all of our knowledge up until now? What would you say?
Yes, because if you're in the room, the light went out in the room.
What?
If the light went out in a room in your house, you'd go eat in a different room. So if the light's out in your sukkah, you go to another room.
Okay, but would you say it's mitzta'er?
Yeah. In the dark.
In the dark? Okay, it's very uncomfortable. Good, fine. So that's going to be the easy part. What? So we know the answer to that question. We Ashkenazim say you have to eat a kezias of bread in the sukkah, in the dark. That's all, you have to. It's no different, no worse than if it's raining, pouring on the first night. You have to eat in the sukkah. You have to at least make kiddush and eat a kezias of bread in the sukkah. So this is not any worse than that. But then he's going to get to another question, which would be, If you don't have a light in your house, or even if you do, but your neighbor has a light in his sukkah, are you obligated to go through the tircha of schlepping your stuff from one sukkah to the next? Is that also included in the mitzta'er? And that will have nothing to do with the sukkah itself.
Conditions.
That's exactly. It's not the condition in the sukkah any longer. It's your effort to go to someone else's house. So that's going to be our extension tonight. So he writes, tshuva, the answer is, yera'eh dahadat noteh deshari. It appears that logic would dictate that it is permissible. Why does he have to say logically? Because there is no Gemara that discusses this case. No Gemara discusses this case. Now, how does he know that this is considered something that people make changes about? V'hachi mashma perik arve psachim with the ka'amar hasam rav huna kadesh uba'i lemitam midi. Rav Huna made Kiddush. And after he made Kiddush, he recognized he has to eat something right now. What halacha is that known as? Ein Kiddush Ela Bimakom Su'uda. So turn the page for a minute to page 2, and you have the sugya there. There is a practice in many shuls that on Friday night, at the end of Maariv, the chazan recites Kiddush in the Beit Knesset. You may have seen it. We don't do it in Rinat. They do it in Bnei Yeshurun. And when Rinat started, I asked the Rav what he said, and he said, if your shul has a minug, you keep that minug. But if you're starting a new shul without the minug, do not recite the Kiddush. The reason why they recited the Kiddush in the time of the Talmud, because people slept and ate in the shul. So instead of providing wine for everybody, the chazan made Kiddush in the shul, and everybody discharged their obligation, and then they went in to eat. Then they went in to eat. So the Rush already writes, and Tosfot, that in my day, people don't sleep in the shul anymore. And they don't eat in the shul anymore. So why are we making kiddush? So Tosis writes, it's a bracha levatala. It's a waste of time and a wasted bracha to recite kiddush today if there are no guests in shul. That's what the Rush, that's what Tosis says. However, not everybody agreed with Tosfot. And they said that on a biblical level, there is no necessity to have kiddush in the place where you're going to eat. That's a rabbinic requirement about the mitzvah of kiddush. Midda'oraita, you don't have to make kiddush where you're going to eat. The mitzvah of kiddush is an independent mitzvah. Zachor et Yom HaShabbat Lekadsho is fulfilled by describing the sanctity of the Shabbat in the bracha which we call Kiddush. So the Rush writes, you know what? There are people, not only in our day and age, especially if you remember years ago, there were lots of people who came to shul for a yahrzeit, or they were saying Kaddish all year, but they were not regular shul goers. So you have this guy who has a yard sign on a Shabbos, or he's there during the year, and he's going to the movies straight out of shul. He's not going home to make kiddush because he's not observant. Why should we not be mizakehim to fulfill the mitzvah of kiddush, despite the fact that his kiddush is not going to be recited b'makom se'udah? So there is some purpose in making kiddush in a shul, even though there is nobody eating in shul. Assuming that you have people who come to shul and they're not going home to have Sudat Shabbat. Now here in the Halakha Tinek, we don't have too many. There are some, it happens occasionally, not very frequently. But in Amulei Gitzaten, in Orthodox shuls, this was a regular pattern of behavior. Regular pattern of behavior. So, therefore, the Rosh says, keep making Kiddush b'makom suda. Shelo b'makom suda. Yeah.
The
women who don't daven maariv, forget about the kiddush in the shul.
Right.
If you daven maariv already,
right,
you have already fulfilled the mitzvah of kiddush midaoraita. Because the requirement for wine is only a derabanan. On a d'oraita level, reciting the bracha, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Ritzevim Nuchateinu, Kadeshenu b'mitzvoteacha, which concludes Baruch Atah Hashem Mikadesh HaShabbat, is recited during Maariv. So if you don't daven Maariv, you women are obligated mid-d'oraita to recite the Kiddush. The husband, assuming he daven Maariv, is only chayav midrabanan to repeat the kiddush on wine. Yes, that is true.
Why is it lighting candles? Why doesn't that count as?
Because that doesn't say anything about the sanctity of Shabbos. It describes a mitzvah, and it takes place on Friday, not on Shabbos.
No.
We don't light candles on Shabbos. We light candles Friday afternoon. The mitzvah of kiddush is that you have to recite the kiddush on Shabbat. On Shabbat.
What about the tying of, you said it's midaraita, not midaraita, but the idea that the suda has to have kiddush as part of it,
mm-hmm.
Why did that start? Why does it have to be at the same as part of the meal?
Okay, so, I can explain that. Okay, I'll explain it. So, I'll tell you why. The Gemara offers no explanation whatsoever. Just says it's a rule. Ein kiddush ela b'makom suda. So the Rav once devoted a whole yard side shir to this, and he suggested as follows. Did you eat dinner tonight? Did you?
Yes.
What'd you have for dinner?
Actually, a humble toast sandwich.
A humble toast sandwich? Was it the Jerry?
Delicious.
Was it the Jerry? No?
The pulled beef.
What do they call that
really
one?
Good.
What do they call that one?
I forgot what it was.
Okay.
It's very good.
I'm glad.
I recommend it.
Okay. So, anyhow. Good. Why did you eat dinner tonight?
Because
you're hungry. Good. Why do you eat dinner on Friday night? For two reasons.
Yeah.
Number one, you're hungry. And number two, there's a mitzvah to eat on Shabbos. A suda. How do we demonstrate that a suda that is being eaten on Shabbos is lichvod Shabbos? It is bracketed by two things. Kiddush and the recitation of Ritzei at the end of during Berchat HaMazon. So the purpose of Kiddush b'makom suda is in order to create what we call a su'udat Shabbat. A su'udat Shabbat. That's why we make Kiddush b'makom suda. In theory, again, from a Torah perspective, this is not necessary. Because the Torah doesn't tell us to eat three meals. That's a rabbinic obligation of Shabbos, subsumed under the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbat, which only finds its roots in Yeshayahu. Famous pasuk, V'karata l'Shabbat Oneg, V'likdosh Hashem Mechubad. So therefore Yeshayahu shared with us this mitzvah of Kibun and Oneg. Fine.
But Shal Shiddush, you don't need to make it.
That is correct.
And that's us.
Even though the Rambam says you do. The Rambam says the same Kiddush you make during the day, which is only Boyer Pri HaGafen. That's all the Gemara says you need. The fact that we say Zachar and Vishamru, that's all Minhagim. The Kiddush for Shabbat morning is the recitation of Baruch Pri HaGafen. The Rambam says, before you eat Sudah Shlishit, you say Baruch Pri HaGafen. Same thing. We don't follow the Rambam because we have already relaxed standards about what you have to eat during Sudah Shlishit. Everybody says that Friday night and Shabbat, you have to wash and have bread. For Shalosh Shudas, in theory, you should have as well. Others say you can be yotzei with cake. Others say all you need is fruit. The Brisker Rav only ate a grapefruit. A grapefruit. And his famous line was, why do you eat a grapefruit? Why don't Abaye says you can be yotzei with divrei Torah. Divrei Torah. So he said the famous line, you can shlug up the shear, but you can't shlug up a grapefruit. Shlug up means to challenge. What? I have no idea. No, it is in Yerushalayim.
Oh, right.
He moved to Israel then. He shlug up a grapefruit. So anyhow. Good. So that's what. Now read where I bracketed. And the Trumas HaDashin just quoted it. The Rav Huna Kaddish, the Isakrele Shraga, and the light went out in his house. Va'ailile Limane Lebeginine de Rabba, he went to the attic of Rabba Beray, his son, the Heveshraga, which had a light. The Kaddish, he made Kiddush again, the Ta'im Midi, and he ate something there. So, what do you see? What do you see? That in the absence of a light, what do? You go somewhere else. You go somewhere else. You don't stay to fulfill the requirement of Kiddush v'makom Seuda. You do not stay in that house. You could have eaten in the dark, but that's not what people do. They don't like eating in the dark. Therefore, says the Trumas HaDashin, going back to page number 1, he quotes this. Look now in the third line in the middle, exactly in the middle. Alma, regiltahu lotseit medira lidira b'shvil haner. Apparently the custom was, if there is no light, you go fetch a light. Even though there is a compelling halacha of Kiddush b'makam Suda. And look what he did. He made Kiddush another time. I could have said, Kiddush a second time? That's a bracha levatala. No. Since it's so unpleasant to finish eating in the dark, they allow you to go ahead and move to a place where there's light and not worry about the fact that you're repeating two times a bracha, which theoretically you didn't really need, if not for this particular halacha.
What about all the other brachas? Are you making a new leishev? Are you washing?
Yes. No. Yes, 100%. Everything. You make the whole kiddush again. First of all, you have to make an aleisha because you're going to a different, if it's with a sukkah, you have to make a different sukkah. The only bracha which you would not have to make again is Shechianu. Because Shechianu is just for the Yom Tov. Well, I made the bracha for the Yom Tov. It makes no difference where you make it. It's our minhag to recite a Shechianu by kiddush. But you can recite it, the Gemara says, afilu bashuk. You can say it any place you want. Because it's a bracha on the Zman, and it's a bracha on the Sukkah, which you're in the Sukkah when there was, before the light went out. So that bracha you wouldn't make again.
If you just went into your house, like it was raining, and you made the bracha in the Sukkah, and then you went inside because it was raining, you don't have to repeat Kiddush again.
No, because
you're in the same
place. Because you ate, the first night, you have to eat.
Right.
So you took care of everything.
Yeah.
Took care of everything.
And you can't carry your... They couldn't carry their stuff because they didn't have eros, so...
You sure they had eros?
Right. That's not the issue. That's not the issue here.
It's Shabbos.
Only Friday night. Right. Now, go down to four lines from the bottom. Four lines from the bottom, there is a dot next to the word Venira Nami. Go down four lines from the bottom, Venira Nami. The Afilu Yesh Lichaveiro Ner Besukato. Your friend, next door neighbor, has a light in his sukkah. Ein Omrim Loze Leich Have Seudatcha Lesukat Chavercha. We do not say, carry your food to your friend's sukkah, ve'echol sham le'or haner. Why do you have to eat with a candle in your house, go to your next door neighbor and eat what? And eat in a sukkah. Eat in a sukkah. Why don't you have to? The Hanami Chashiv Tsa'ar. Because that also is considered Tsa'ar. Mishum de'ein orev le'adam ela b'shelo. People only feel comfortable in their own house, not in somebody else's sukkah. Now, skip, he quotes Yerushalmi, it's not related to this. Look at the last line, fifth word into the line, there's a dot. Efes, however, yesh lichalek bira'aya. Maybe you can disagree with what I just said. Im efshar lo beli toreach gamur lavo lesukat chaveiro v'le'echol sham ein lahakel. It's good. It's a subjective thing. But let's imagine the following. Your friend finished eating already.
You got the whole sukkah to yourself.
And you got the whole sukkah to yourself.
You still have dish left, though.
Ah. So he's saying, if there is not much tircha, there's not much effort, because the guy's your next door neighbor, what's the big deal? Schlepping a couple plates in there. Then, ein lahakel. You're right, it's very, very subjective. As is the whole halach of mitzvah. Like we said, some people are cold, some people are not cold. Some people are bothered by the bees, some people are not bothered by the bees. So it's very subjective. So he writes, if it's not that much effort, you know what? Ein lahakel. Okay, so you, but in theory, if it is a lot of effort, where is the effort if nobody else is in the other sukkah? There's no tircha by sitting in the sukkah. It's perfectly comfortable. You're sitting there alone with your family only. What's the where is the tircha? In carrying the material. That is something the Gemara never ever said. That we can use the mitzta'er not only if there's discomfort in the sukkah itself, but there is discomfort getting to the sukkah. That's a big chiddush. Yes?
But there's no allowance for whether or not the host of the sukkah that has a light on really wants you there.
Okay, so...
this isn't like... Okay,
so hold on. There is a halacha that deals with your point. If you were to take my tape recorder and use it without my permission, that is called Shoel Shalomi Da'at. Borrowing something without asking permission. The Gemara says that a Shoel Shalomi Da'at is a gazlan. You are a thief. Even though you have no intention of stealing, you plan on using my pen and putting it right down. You're a gazlan. Except for a dvar mitzvah. If I don't have a talis, I can borrow somebody's talis. I don't have to ask him permission. If he's there, I ask him permission. But if he's not there, I can just borrow it. Why? Chazal have assumed that if you know that I can't do a mitzvah without your thing, you grant me permission, even though I didn't hear those words. Mutarlach, it's okay. Well, is sitting in the sukkah a mitzvah? I don't have to. If he's home, I ask his permission. If he's not home, I walk in and I use his sukkah. And the assumption is that nichole lemeevad mitzvah b'mamone. People are delighted that you use their financial articles, their assets, to perform a mitzvah. Yes. Regards from your, I saw your, some aunt of yours, and I gave a shiur in Boca Sunday night. Yeah, so she came to the shiur. So she sent, told me to send regards. I said, I told him I'm going to wait until he asks a good question.
Make it clear, Cheryl.
Yeah. Did not say this.
That's the first day. You have to own it. Borrowing doesn't work.
Somebody didn't have it for some reason.
You have to you have to acquire it.
That's why you threw me off from saying you had to ask. So just he was saying you didn't have to ask for mitzvah. That's why I was saying.
Because there he has to give it to you, not borrow it. You can't borrow an esrog, even with permission. He has to give it to you as a gift. Okay. That's why sukkah is different. Yes.
So this started out that it's Friday night. So what if there's no eruv in the community? So then you go to somebody else's sukkah.
Nothing. Then that option is not available for you. That option is not available for you. We all remember, if you ever lived in an apartment, and on Friday night, you had to bring your food to the shul before Shabbos and eat whatever you were able to do, if you had that opportunity. Because there was no Eruv, I lived in Mashnai, there was no Eruv. We brought the little wine and the challah and a piece of gefilte fish. We ate it in the shul sukkah, there was a whole rotation, and you left and finished the whole meal at home. Nothing you can do. If you didn't bring it before Shabbos, too bad. Very few communities had a ruvin years ago. That's a new thing. It's very good. It's excellent.
In Europe, they did.
What?
In Europe.
Of course they had a ruvin in Europe. 100%. Here they didn't. Yes. Yes.
But at the end of the day, is there a bottom line to say, are you obligated if this happens? Like,
of course you are.
You're saying with this.
It depends. With the Truma Sadeshin's comment,
yeah.
If there is not, he says, if there is a lot of effort in doing so, you don't have to. If there is little effort, you're obligated to do so. Yes, ain lo lahakel. Ain lo lahakel. So now you can quibble with him. Vos haste, a lot of effort, vos haste, a little. But that's a lot of definition, a lot of big definition, you know. Difference between the husbands and the wives. What's considered effort? Yeah.
The idea that you don't need someone's permission to borrow something to use for a
minute. Yes.
Does it matter if the owner is Jewish or not?
Of course it makes a difference.
If the owner is not Jewish, you can't get that.
That is correct. Why would he assume that you can fulfill a mitzvah? What article of a mitzvah would he be having that
he owns?
Yeah.
A hamdala cat.
Okay, the answer is no. Because you can't make the assumption that he's going to be grant. What does he care about being mizakayu to do a mitzvah? He's talking about, obviously, a member of our faith community who has an interest in promoting shmirat ha-mitzvot. Yeah. So that's what the Trumas Hadeshen says. If you go to page 3, our posek in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, quotes and paskins like the Trumas Hadeshen. As he often does. I bracketed it in the middle of Seif Dalid, which is, if you look at the first words of the Mechaber, the title of this particular halacha is Mitztaer Patur Min HaSukkah. That's all we're talking about. And then I bracketed in the middle, 5 lines down, Mi Shekavu Lo HaNeirot B'Sukkah B'Shabbat, somebody whose candles extinguished on Shabbos, v'yeshlo ner bebeito, mutar latzeit min ha-sukkah, kidei le'echol b'makom ner. You're allowed to leave the sukkah in order to eat your meal comfortably with a light. Ve'ein tzorich leilech l'sukkat chaveiro shiyesh shom ner. You do not have to go to your friend's house even if he has a candle in a sukkah. Im yesh toreach gadol bidavar. If there's a lot of tircha going to your friend's house. Again, no one is capable of defining vos heis tircha gedoila and what's called toreach kal. That's, again, it's no definition. But the Ramah quotes this particular halacha. And this halacha also stands to reason from another vantage point. What is one of... it's the primary explanation why did Chazal mandate Hadlakat Neirot on Shabbat? Why is there a mitzvah of Hadlakat Neirot? In what aspect? They're afraid that if you're not going to have a candle, people are going to be carrying soup and trip over somebody, and it's not going to be very pleasant. It's to facilitate a safe experience for a meal on Shabbat. Don't forget, most of the time, people would not eat when it got dark. They ate a little earlier when there was some light outside. Or what were they able to do? Light a candle anytime they needed it. On Shabbos, you have to light it before, and if it gets dark, you know, it's a real issue. It's a real issue. So as a result, the whole purpose of Hadlakat Neirot is to eat the meal with light. So if the light goes out, the whole meal is now in danger of violating Shalom Bayit, and Shalom Bayit is a primary concern in Hilchos Shabbos. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbat tells us, on Shabbos Chanukah, somebody only has money to purchase one set of candles, either for Ner Chanukah or for Ner Shabbat, he should forget about Ner Chanukah and buy Ner Shabbat. Because Shalom Bayis is more important than the mitzvah of Hadlakat Ner Chanukah. So all of that fits in very nicely with the... But there are other illustrations of this as well. Other illustrations of this principle. If you now go... to the Mishnah Brewer's comment on the bottom of page 4, he says, why do we introduce Toreach Gadol as a factor? Why? And he writes, B'nei shesvarazu delelech lesukat chaveiro yesh tsa'ar b'davar lo psikale kolkach. The fact that there is tsa'ar, discomfort, by sitting in somebody else's sukkah, that's not the most compelling argument in the world. And many would have said that your first obligation, if your candles go out, is not to go into your house, but what should you do? You have to find another sukkah. So, in order to make it a little more palatable, claims the Mishnah Brura, the Trumas Hadeshen introduced this category. You know what? There's a lot of tircha. Got to schlep the dishes, got to schlep the pots. It's a big pain in the neck. And in fact, I'm going to show you an extension of this. Of this. Yeah, so we'll take it slow. Go to page 5 for a minute. Shomrei Ginos Upardesim. This is a braita in Masechet Sukkah. Maze Shomrei Ginot Upardesim. Correct. They're guards. They are guards to make sure that nobody steals the fruit, the crop. Now they're sitting there, they shomrim, piturim bein bayom ubein balayla. They are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah during the day as well as at night. Okay, tell me why, ladies and ladies. Why are they exempt? So the Gemara asked the question. Vile'ev de sukkah hasam. Let them build a sukkah right next to their hut. Vile'svu. And let them sit there on the in the sukkah. Amar Abaye. Teishvu ke'en taduru. What does that mean? So we know what teishvu, I know what it means. But the question is, what in the world has got to do with this? Teishvu ke'en taduru means you should be living in the sukkah the way you live in your home. But where is his home now? In the little hut next door. So why can't he just build an equivalent hut like a sukkah? What's the problem? What's the problem? Says many mefarshim, this guy, he doesn't live there permanently. He lives there only when he's on duty. Nobody's out all the time. So what would he have to do? Schlep his blankets and his pillow and his table, whatever it else, and his food from his house to this sukkah whenever he's on duty. That's what Abaye means. Teishvu ke'en toduru. Do you have to, when you're ready to go to sleep, do you have to schlep your pillows and blankets 20 miles in order to go to sleep at night? No. Where are the pillows and the blankets? Right in your bedroom. This guy is going to have to schlep his stuff from his house. Therefore, it's teishvu ke'en toduru, which is the basis of the halacha of mitzta'er. Why are you exempt if it's cold, if it's raining? Because in your house, if there is a broken window, you're going to go to another room. If there's a leak in the roof, you're going to a different room. So here too, Abaye says, effort, pain in the neck, is considered a valid application of the halacha of mitzta'er. Because this guy, it's a perfectly comfortable sukkah. The only issue is schlepping his bedding every day from the when he's on duty at night, let's say, to schlep. When he's on duty during the day, he's got to schlep all his pots and pans into the sukkah. So you see a source for what? A source for this principle. Because the Truma Sadeshin did not quote a source. He just said that from his own interpretation. This is quote, I forgot by whom, quotes this Gemara as support for the Truma Sadeshin. Just one second. The problem is, Rava disagrees with the explanation. Rava Omar, Pirtza Kora Liganav. Pirtza Kora Liganav.
He's not watching what's going on.
Because so he's inside the sukkah.
That's the reason.
Exactly.
That's the reason why
he's... That's why he's exempt. Because it's going to cause an enormous financial loss to the balabais, to the owner of the field.
We have that same principle with Kriyat Shema, correct? That somebody who works, he can condense his Kriyat Shema because he's taking up the
balabais' is time. That's correct. It's very similar. Yes. Yes. So here, now, why does Rava need this excuse? And it's a very different type of an excuse. That because my action will generate financial loss, I am exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. Because where does the Ganav doesn't sit in his house, in a hut there. He sits outside. That's what he's designed, that's what he's getting paid for.
24/7 he's sitting outside, like while he's on duty.
Yes, he has to make sure that nobody comes and steals the fruit. So at night, he doesn't sleep. During the day, he does nothing else. That's what he's getting paid for. That's why I'm assuming that he had multiple different guys. But whenever it is, whoever's on duty for that moment has to watch.
Well, what about doing shifts so that each person could take turns? I mean, every one of our things that we...
Okay.
Yeah, every single one of our... The thing that I have a problem with this is everything we do is a pain in the neck. I mean, it's also wonderful, but it's also a pain in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you're rushing to work and you have to bench, or when you have to daven in the morning.
Okay.
Everything is time-consuming.
Right.
It's difficult. But that's what we do because this is what
correct.
Our life is. And the same thing with shifts. Doing shifts. Like
so Abaye... I know. But that's why most believe that this whole discussion is limited only to the mitzvah of sukkah. Where you have this halacha of teishvu ke'en toduru. This cannot be extended any place else. Otherwise you'd be 100% right.
If it's only in case you... What if you're the balabas?
Then there's no excuse whatsoever.
No, then it's your
money.
In this case, it's your own. It's not... Yeah, you're not taking... In this case... It's someone else that you're concerned.
Correct.
Now, what if it's yours? So now it's Shoveh. What's more important, your money or your...
That's the question has been asked by every person. Should I work on Shabbos or should I keep my business closed? I'm going to lose money by staying. You have to, for if it's your own, there are no excuses. But here we're talking about the liability of a shomer. If something is stolen, he has to pay for it out of his own pocket.
And this is the sad part. No one's addressing and saying, We love sukkahs. Like I would say, we love sukkahs. I want to. Oh, it's so upsetting. My light went out. I can't hear it. Let me go find another sukkah. Like the positive side, instead of saying, you know, I trouble yourself. It's too much trouble. Don't do it. No one's like putting that in.
No,
saying,
the Truma Sadeshin didn't say you should mitzvah. You should take advantages. He's asking if this is your feeling. This is his feeling. People ask them, can I get, it's a pain, it's very difficult for me. Obviously, if you have your feeling, who put in couches into a sukkah,
exactly.
Under those circumstances, there's nothing to worry about. You're not going to look to get out. You'll carry the couch across the street to somebody else's sukkah. You won't go that far. Yeah. Now, well, just 1 second. Since Rava did not agree with Abaye, what do you think he thinks of Abaye's rationale? Abaye said, why is the Shomer exempt? Because Teshuv came to Duru. Because he has to schlep his bedding from his house to the sukkah. Now, if Rava comes up with another explanation, why wasn't he happy with Abaye's explanation? Why? Why isn't he happy with Abaye's explanation? Say it, ladies. No, say it a little sharper. Correct. It's not included in the Mitzta'er Heter. You know what is Mitzta'er? Mitzta'er in the sukkah. But the fact that I have to schlep my bedding and it's a pain in the neck, that's tircha. I don't grant such an exemption whatsoever. So what's the only reason why I exempt the shomer? Because he's going to be a that's what his job is. He accepted responsibility. He doesn't have to suffer financial loss because if he's not going to watch, he's going to have to pay for it out of his pocket. And whenever there is a halacha of a machloikis between Abaye and Rava, who is the halacha like? It's like Rava, except for 6 times in Shas. 6 times! And this is not one of the 6. Therefore, many use this to challenge the Truma Sadeshin's principle. This Gemara, according to Rava, apparently does not legitimize pain in the neck excuses as an excuse to exempt you from sukkah. Rava didn't say it, but by fact that he didn't agree with his colleague Abaye, but rather chose to offer another explanation, is an indication that he doesn't agree with Abaye's reasoning. And whenever it is a machloikis between Abaye and Rava, which is several thousand times in the Talmud, the halacha is always like Rava, except for 6 occasions. Just remember the mnemonic. Yal Kigam. Yud Ayin Lamed. Kuf Gimel Mem. Yal Kigam. So you should know when you stand online in your favorite store, when you're asking, what are the 6 exceptions? No, it's not. It's grand in Essex. Each one is represents a different case. It'll take me 2 hours to explain all 6 cases. This is not one of them. Yal Kigam. Yael Kigam. Yal Kigam. No. Not always. It's one has to do with Erevin. There's this. One of the Adam Zomerman. Yes.
So could this be similar to, let's say, a doctor who, I think of an anesthesiologist, because they're the only ones who actually try to eat while they're working, but they're guarding their body, they're working on a person, and it's a long surgery. I don't know, I'm just thinking, like, would that be, you would think that they can't, that they then should be able to eat out of the sukkah?
Of course they can.
They can.
They're doing surgery.
No, I'm saying, exactly.
Of course they can. They're saving somebody's life. If they could take off, they should always try to take off. Shabbos and Yontif. And Chol HaMoed. There's a tshuva that somebody says that if you're entitled to vacation, which you can take on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to work on Chol HaMoed. Take vacation. What's the whole heter? You know? Yeah.
To being able to afford only the Shabbos candles.
Okay.
And if you use these candles as Melech Shabbat, then you're allowed to use them. And
if you light them for Hanukkah.
You cannot.
You can't.
That's correct. So that's why you can't use them as Ner Hanukkah.
Right.
Because then you couldn't eat there anyhow.
You were ascribing it to Shlomo Bayit.
That's correct. Right. And you, what happens when you light these candles? You use them
right.
so that you don't eat in the dark.
Right.
If you bought them as Hanukkah light and light them, you have to eat in the dark.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying it's Shlomo Bayit. Why does Ner Shabbat trump Ner Hanukkah? Because if not, you're going to have to eat in the dark. And Shlom Bayis will be compromised on Shabbos. So in order to promote Shlom Bayit, they are telling you, forget about Ner Hanukkah and light these candles only as Ner Shabbat. Which now you can use. Which is the mitzvah to use. The mitzvah to use. Right. And that's why I always say that if you ever go to a hotel for a bar mitzvah, Shabbos, wherever it is, do not light candles in the hallway. It's the biggest bracha levatala around. Because the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is to use the light. Light in your room, on any light that you leave on, and you'll read something there, even if it's just the bathroom light. That's it.
Why can't you read something in the hall?
Because people don't read in the hallway.
But if you did, then
if you did, that's okay. But
if you
usually,
said I'm gonna read.
But there's also
light.
Electric lights on in the hallway. It's not gonna help you.
What? I know. There's electric lights in your dining room also.
Yeah, in our house we're not really using.
I know. That's why the Rav himself, when he lit candles after his wife did, he didn't know. He shut all the lights before he lit candles, and then turned them on. Lit the candles, made the bracha to include all of the electric lights as well in the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos.
Yes.
Did that every Friday night. Yes.
I was told that that's only incandescent bulbs, which of course we don't have anymore.
That is correct. That is true. Only if it's an incandescent bulb. That's correct. If there's not, then there's nothing you can do.
Really?
Yeah, you cannot make a bracha on today's LED lights. Because it's not called H.
But if it's not H, why can't you turn it on?
It's us and Midrab. That's a good question.
Because
it might be something else. Maka Bapatish. There are various malachas about that. It is. It is a very good question. Yeah. Yeah. Now, there is another Gemara that supports the Trumas Hadeshen on page 7. This Gemara actually offers support. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. Hoya Ochel B'Sukkah. V'yordu Geshamim. Somebody's eating and it starts raining. The Yorad, and he left the sukkah and went into the house. And then what? It stopped raining. It was a quick 5-minute shower. Now the sun's out. It's beautiful. Ein matrichin oto la'alot ad shiigmar sudaso. He doesn't have to go into the sukkah until the next meal. But the meal that he interrupted and is now completing where? In his house. Even though we theoretically could. What's the big deal? I carry the stuff by hand. A matrichin.
Same language.
Yeah. We don't engage in tircha. We don't make you go through the effort. You just schlepped everything back up to schlep it back down. We don't make you do so. So this Gemara would seem to support. Same thing, says the Braita. Haya yashen tachat ha-sukkah. Somebody was sleeping in the sukkah. V'yordu gishamim. V'yorad. And then it what? It stopped. He went. He left the sukkah and then it stopped raining. Ein ma'atrichen oto la'alot ad shiye'or. Until it gets light out. That means till the next day that you go back to sleep. But that night you can finish sleeping in your house even though there is not a drop of rain for the next 6 hours. So this... Okay, but it's talking about even if it's not. The exemption is Ein Matrichin. We don't trouble you. So this particular, I'm a little surprised, and people ask this, why didn't the Truma Sadeshin quote this as a support proof for him? As a support proof. Go to page 11 for a second. This is the Magen Avraham commenting on this halacha. He gives two cases. I'm in the sukkah and suddenly I feel cold. So what are the two options that you have?
Put something on.
Go get a sweater. Go get some pillows. Get some blankets. Well, that's a tircha, says the Magen Avraham. Mishum tzina, in the middle, Siv Zion. V'im kain, mi she'ein lo karim v'kastos kira'ui, somebody who doesn't have pillows and blankets. V'yesh tzina, and it's a little cold. Ein lo li shom, he doesn't have to sleep there. Why not? Tell him to go in house and bring his down blanket. No, he doesn't have to. Apparently, the effort is an exemption. So too, towards the bottom, Sif Yud Gimel. The Mishnah Mechaber says, you're supposed to learn in the sukkah. Kore velome. You read the newspaper, you learn in the sukkah. Says the Magen Avraham, V'hakol lefiho inyan. Everything has to be looked at depending on the situation. Im yesh lo minucha besukkah, if he has peace and tranquility in the sukkah where he can concentrate, lo made besukkah. Vitzorich iyun, and I'm not sure, im tzorich svarim harbei. He's preparing a shir, and he needs 10 different svarim in order to prepare this particular shir. Vitoreach lo lahalotam lesukkah. He's got to schlep three shasim, three different gemaras, two shulchan aruchs, which are bigger than the gemaras. Ulich ora mashma. Apparently, mashma be gemara, the ain matrichen osa, that we don't make you go through the effort. So here he's considering this as well. Again, another application where once you're in the sukkah with the books, you can learn very well. So what's the only exemption from learning in the sukkah? The schlepping them down. And that too seems to be an exemption of mitzta'er patam min ha-sukkah. Yes?
I've noticed this.
Always, yeah, I don't know why. Your dim to the bayis. We would look at it just the opposite way. Your dim l'sukkah, I'm going down to the sukkah and going back into the house. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe because their sukkahs were on their roofs. That's why. It was on the roof. That was a flat piece, right? Up on the roof. Yeah. Yeah, or like, not everybody has an apartment in Yerushalayim with a balcony just for the sukkah. Right. Just for the sukkah.
Do you have the concept of tircha by any other mitzvah?
Do you have that concept of tircha by any other mitzvah? So, yeah, but that's something else. So, I'll give you an example of mitzta'er applied by some to another in our area of halacha. Not tircha, I didn't think of cases of tircha yet, but mitzta'er is quoted. Here is the case. The halacha is that you are not permitted to disembark a boat on Shabbos. Not allowed to. Because it came out of the tchum. Came out of the tchum Shabbos. So a boat came in on Shabbos, and it was asked of, again, one of the late Rishonim, it was pouring on the boat. Now the boats that they were traveling at that time were not like these boats that go to Puerto Rico and to the Caribbean islands, where they have like it's a 7-football field and you can have plenty of place to hide inside. And the guy was getting soaked the whole Shabbos. He asked him, "Can you disembark on Shabbos?" And he said, "I'm going to borrow the principle of mitztaer. If I was mitztaer, if I was in my house on a Shabbos, what would I do? Walk into a different room." But you're allowed to get off the boat on Shabbos and violate the Isur Tchumin because of mitztaer. Not what?
That's even bigger, because that's a lotas.
No, but it's only a durabanan.
Oh,
mm-hmm. It's a durabanan.
Borrowing tesu kei tadiru, and that doesn't apply to that.
But that's what's happening. He's borrowing. That's the objection. That's why some say you dare not get off that boat. We don't care if you get soaked. That is a principle that is applied only to sukkah. You have no right to extend it to any other area of halacha. Any other area of halacha. I'll give you another area where it is applied and accepted by everybody. Today, we have very comfortable streets. But years ago, you know, people walked on stones and so on and so forth. It's Yom Kippur night. And davening's over. When you came to shul, you took off your shoes and you stood in the side. They didn't have sneakers and, you know, Converse and everything else under the Crocs and everything. So you walked home in your shoe. Does that mean I have to walk home on Yom Kippur night and hurt my feet in socks or barefoot as do I? So many pots quoted in Shulchan Aruch. You can put them on, and when you get home, you take them off. Again, it's the principle of mitztaer, and it's a din d'oraisa, wearing shoes, according to the Rambam, is one of the isurim of Yom Kippur on a d'oraisa. The Rabbeinu Tam says only the Rabbanan. Rabbeinu Tam says only eating and drink are d'oraisa. All the other inuyim are only asam at the Rabbanan. But the Rambam believes that all five of them are asam. So it's not so far-fetched that we might extend it to other things, but then, you know, you can push that envelope very, very far. How long are you going to say, you know what, too much tircha to do this mitzvah? Then Tova's point becomes very, very relevant. It's a big tircha to do lots of mitzvahs. So I'm going to exempt myself because it's too much effort to do so. But I don't find, at least, it's mitztaer. Here we're talking about mitztaer. I never found anybody who said tircha by other mitzvot applies. They're limiting the extension only to mitztaer, where is actual pain, tsa'ar, and so on and so forth. All right. That was good. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going. Cheryl's going Sunday. In another 10 days when I can work out in school.
Don't have to rest, you have to go.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to run.
Very exciting.
No, tomorrow.
Oh, very nice. Are you going to be here next Wednesday?
Yes.